Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see so many people here as we continue our series on honest questions. And we're thinking about the idea of truth today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Glenn Burns. I'm part of the staff team here at Aldersgate Talks. You know, we welcome anyone here, whether you're curious and a skeptic, or you are a believer of the Christian faith. And as we'll look at the Christian faith, and we'll think about what the Christian faith has to say about truth. Now, it wasn't long ago before you could easily use the phrase "the camera never lies." Some of you may prefer the phrase "the camera adds 10 pounds." I always think about it in response to how many cameras are pointed at you in that moment. But, you know, if you wanted to capture something that was true, you took a picture of it. Easy. Simple. And you show people that picture, and you could easily say to them, "this is what happened to me." And they go, "yeah, I believe that." But then the internet came along. An absolute treasure trove of information. Anything we wanted to know at our fingertips. But with the internet then came the likes of Photoshop, then deepfake, and then AI. For an example of this, just watch this clip with me of Barack Obama from 2018. So that was done in 2018, and we can see how AI was starting to progress and evolve at that point. An image of anybody could be taken, and words could be put into their mouth and portrayed. Now, it does cost a lot of money to do this, but it does raise the question, how can we be sure of what is really true? And so, for a few moments, just turn to your tables, introduce yourselves, just go around tables, give your names, and just chat about these two questions together at your tables. What's something that you thought was true and it turned out to be the opposite? And how can we be sure of what's truly true? Over to you guys, I'll give you a few minutes to think about those things, and then I'll bring us back together. Let me just interrupt those conversations you might be having. Don't worry, there'll be plenty more opportunities and just discuss some of these things a little bit later on. Before we carry on any further, let me just quickly pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, as we think about the subject of truth, Lord, help us to know what is objectively true and why we can place our full weight of confidence upon us. Father, we pray that as we look at your word and we look at Jesus' words in particular, Father, help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, truth is a good and vital thing to have in this world. It helps us build bonds of trust as we are honest with each other. It gives us certainty to know where we stand, and it helps us to find confidence in somebody who we deem to be genuinely virtuous. William Shakespeare said that no legacy is as rich as honesty. I think many of us here would agree with that statement. But on the other hand, truth is hard to hold on to, especially when it comes to living as a truthful person. I'm sure we've all been duped by what's been called false news, either through reading something online that you're convinced actually happened, or as a child, the stories of individuals that we were told, the likes of the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. Sorry, guys. They don't exist. And then for those of us who are parents, we are guilty as we then perpetuate those stories ourselves, don't we? Now, the rise of AI has made it difficult for us to know what is true and what is false in media today. And it reveals something deep inside of us. None of us here like being lied to. But what's more prevailing is the lack of distinction between what is objective truth as opposed to what is subjective preference. Now, if we were to talk about ice cream, and if I was to tell you that the best flavour of ice cream is mint chocolate chip, now, you would think that I could be telling you the truth through that objective statement. I'm saying that as it's fact. It is the best flavour. All the rest are rubbish compared to it. However, if I was to say that my favourite flavour is mint chocolate chip, then that's a different case, isn't it? Yes, both are true. But one is considered fact and the truth. But the other is true, but it is my own personal judgment. So when it comes to the big matters of life and the ethical challenges we are facing, are the answers that we come to a matter of fact and truth, or are they opinions that are strongly expressed by us as if they are true? Now, many of you here are intelligent folk. Many of you. You don't jump to a conclusion before doing some reading and research the big issues of this world. However, even the basis of finding objective truth in this world has become more and more difficult these days. Think back with me to when Brexit vote happened in 2016. On one side you had individuals who were very resolute as to say it was right to leave, whilst others on the other side were determined to stay. And then you had the likes of myself and probably many of you here who were in the middle and kind of going, not too sure which way to vote. And so as both parties presented their cases and we read the facts and the figures, both parties were experts in saying this is the truth and it's right to leave, or this is the truth and it's right to stay. And as the vote was settled, we saw divisions formed in our country, as both sides still thought that they were right and others were wrong. Now, I think this is a helpful example for us how we can begin to lose sight of discerning the line between truth and falsehoods. And in a world where we find it easier to use the likes of ChatGPT and to put together presentations, Wikipedia as our main source of information, and social media as our way to ingest news, we are potentially losing the ability today in our culture and society to discern truth. And political commentator Walter Lippmann, he once wrote these words: "There can be no liberty for a community which lacks the means to detect lies." In other words, to give up your ability to know the truth, then you give up your ability to know freedom. But funny enough, this quote here that we see from Walter Lippmann, it isn't completely original. In fact, it's something similar to what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and it's recorded for us in John's Gospel. Now, for those of you who don't know, John's Gospel is a biographical account of Jesus, and it was written for us so that we can believe that things that are said about him are true. And these set of facts aren't written as opinions about Jesus, but what's here is stated so you can see for yourself how it is true. And in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, Jesus says this about those who trust in Jesus' words as being true. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and followers, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, those are remarkable words there, aren't they? Don't you think? That to abide in Jesus' word, that's to fully commit into accepting what Jesus says is true, then not only will those who hear it and accept it know the truth, but that truth will also bring them freedom. Freedom is something that we really long for. It's what people thought Brexit would give them, but it hasn't. It's a desire of closure that people want from the truth being made known, that they have freedom in the peace that is given to them. But how can we be sure that Jesus' words are the truth that we need? What is it about him that demands us to pay attention to him? And what is it that we really need freedom from? I'm going to hand over to you guys, and I want you guys to think about this question, these two questions here. What opinions have you heard about Jesus? And what makes him such an influential figure in history that we should pay attention to what he says? Over to you guys for a couple of minutes to chat about those things. Let me just interrupt those conversations again. Sorry if you were deep in chat and putting the world to rights there. But I was really struck about this thing that Albert Einstein said about Jesus, and he said these words: "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by Jesus. No one could read the Bible without feeling his actual presence. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." Jesus wants us to pay attention to his words. And if Jesus' words are captivating, then we should probably do our due diligence and listen to what he has to say. Now, Jesus says about these words about himself in John chapter 14, 6, something that we've been thinking about and we will be thinking about over these 3 weeks. And we're going to think about it more in more detail, and something you can read for yourself with me on page 43. Just pick up your Gospels of John's. Turn me to page 43. And I'm going to read John chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus says these words,
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now notice how Jesus is making an objective statement about himself as being the truth. He doesn't say he is a truth, but he says he is the truth. And also Jesus says that it's only through him that we can know God too. Now, can we know God is one of the biggest questions that we can ever consider. It's something that is bigger than our human affairs and ethical concerns. Now, if God isn't real, and we lived our lives assuming that he was, then you could argue that we should be pitied, and our lives have been devoted to nothing more than a myth. But if God is real, and we live our whole lives in ignorance of wanting to know him, and just go about our own business, and we are proved wrong one day, it would be a foolish thing for us to do. And so if God is real, then how can we know him? Well, knowing God is a difficult thing to grasp, because as we've been thinking, what is the truth about God that is worth listening to? Jesus says that it's only through him that we can come to God and to know him. But Jesus goes on to say this as well in John chapter 14. He says these words, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Now this is an amazing claim from Jesus here. Something that John backs up earlier in his Gospel in chapter 1, where he says in verse 14, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He," that's Jesus, "has made him known." So through the person of Jesus and the truth of Jesus, we can know God. But what is it about Jesus that backs up this claim? Well, there's two things I want us to see here about Jesus in John's Gospel that proves his claims as objective truth. Firstly, we're going to think about the verifiable evidence of Jesus, and then we're going to see the integrity of Jesus. Now, before we consider the evidence that John puts before us as to who Jesus is, let's look at the evidence given to us by those who lived at that time and knew of Jesus' existence. Now, lots of our evidence for knowing who Jesus is and the things he said largely come from the Bible. But there were also famous ancient historians who acknowledged Jesus' existence as they recorded all that happened in the Roman Empire at that time. Take this quote from a guy called Flavius Josephus. He was a Roman historian, and he said these words. "Now there was at this time a man called Jesus. He was a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as to receive the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ, and the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct at this day." Now here we can see three things about Jesus here, just from this statement alone. Firstly, we can see his name. That might be a bit obvious to you, but it's there. He's called Jesus. His fame as a teacher and a miracle worker, and his influence over all those who followed him. But what about the evidence that John gives us? Well, throughout John's Gospel account, he gives us seven miracles that Jesus performs. They are also called signs. Now, these all happened with a public audience with the intention to reveal who he is. Now, before we go any further, some of you might be skeptical to the fact that miracles exist or even happened. Now, I'm not asking you to suspend your disbelief at miracles here in order for this to make sense. But if there is a God who made this world, then his representation will fully reflect his values and qualities as he is the one who made everything. As creator, he is of the authority to supernaturally intervene, just as he did when he created natural order, or this world that we know today. Jesus himself says these words in John chapter 5, verse 19. He says, "Truly, truly, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." And what Jesus is saying here is that the miracles, signs are reflective of God, his Father's ability to do the same. And in his imitation, Jesus proves that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, we don't have time to look at these miracles or these signs in full, as there's seven of them. You'll be glad to hear. Some of you may have panicked when you saw all seven written out there in your sheets. But I have given you a note of them there, so you can look at them for yourself. You can see here these seven signs, when Jesus turns water into wine, when he heals an official's son and later a paralyzed man, when he feeds at least 5,000 people, when he walks on water before his disciples, when he heals a man who was born blind, and when he raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. John says this at the end of his book in chapter 20. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." The evidence that John gives here is to be objective truth for us to see for ourselves that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, the reason why I believe that World War II happened, or that Henry VIII had six wives, it isn't because I sit at night and I close my eyes and I wish that it could be true, or that I watched a couple of movies and went, "That happened." If that was the case, I wish I lived in Lord of the Rings. But I do so knowing these things because of the evidence that is given to us in history and the claims that correspond with the reality that these things actually happened. In the same way, John has given us here ample evidence to see that Jesus is how we can know God, and the evidence points us to the truth that he is God's Son. But the evidence can only take us so far. So what do we make of Jesus' actions and his words? How do we know that they're nothing but a trick or something from a con man? Well, for that we need to consider the integrity of Jesus. Now, there are always times where it can be hard for us to rely upon the words of anyone at their testimony. And just the other day I was telling somebody here that I was pulled over by the police as I was driving along. Now, I was driving back from the mechanics after getting my car OMOTed. But what I didn't know is that the mechanic had stuck a bit of duct tape over my license plate, making it illegal. The police pulled me over. I had no idea this happened. And I explained to the police what had happened. And the policeman looked me square in the face and said, "I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but I don't believe you for one second." Now, I did show him my MOT papers. But here's the thing. There is nothing I could have said or done to change his mind. I could have told him what I do for a living, and I could have showed him all the evidence to prove that this was a mistake. It wouldn't have made a difference. He didn't trust me. But when we look at the things that Jesus said and did, how can we really trust his words to be true? Now, we can look at the evidence for Jesus, and we can see what he did. But how do we know he's not trying to be a magician? He's not trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Well, Jesus' words and actions led to him being arrested and taken to be on trial before Pilate, the Roman governor of the area of that time. And in this trial, you can see for yourself, just turn with me to John chapter 18. It's on pages 53 and 54. And Pilate here questions Jesus as to who he is. Now, Jesus' signs not just point to him being God's Son, but also a Messiah, a Christ. This word Christ or Messiah, it means king. A king who would come and rescue his people, bringing them true freedom. However, Pilate asks him, and you can look at this with me on page 54. Pilate asks him this question in verse 37. Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, although Jesus doesn't answer him, Pilate wants to get to the bottom of this. And in doing so, Jesus later responds by saying this. Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." You see, when it comes to believing somebody, the motive in which they speak and the things they do matters. It's why they do what they do. So why did Jesus come into the world? Why did Jesus do everything he did? Jesus' signs weren't just wondrous acts. They were acts of kindness and compassion towards those he helped. And he did these things so that he would get our attention and that we could listen to his voice. And when we listen to his voice, we know then that his words are true. But he does so proving who he is. He is the Son of God who, like God, is full of love. The heart of the Christian faith and the message of John's Gospel is that Jesus came to bring us back to God through his death on the cross, which gives us that way back. John summarizes this with these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus' mission and the truth that he reveals is that he is the one God has sent so that we could know him. God sent Jesus because God loves this world. And those who listen to Jesus, who hear the truth that he speaks, and in believing him, they are given the gift of eternal life. That is life to the full, that is being with God in knowing him, and the freedom and peace that he brings. Now, Pilate's conclusion was that he found no guilt in Jesus. Jesus was innocent, but in his claims, he also had integrity. His words were backed by his actions, the evidence that we've seen. Now, Jesus died as he went to the cross, even though he was innocent, but in his resurrection, he proves that he is God's Son, as witnessed by many of his followers. You see, the truth about Jesus is a claim that you can look into for yourself. But it's not like this truth that fits neatly into every box for you to check off. This truth is stubborn. This truth is hard to shake off. Because once you realize it to be true, it's hard to ignore it. In fact, it can be harder to perform the mental gymnastics that you need to do in order to see that it isn't true. But please don't take my word for it. Read John's Gospel for yourself and see these things and weigh them up. But when you do, consider how Jesus acts with integrity as he lived his life. And look how far he goes to care for those who he wants to know him. And then see how Jesus' claims are backed by the evidence that is given. He isn't a figment of imagination or a character in a film trilogy. He is part of our history, and there is a huge body of evidence to engage with. If you'd like to read John's Gospel, then we'll be starting up a group where we can read through it together in a couple of weeks' time. And please speak to Phil, Naomi, or myself if you'd be interested in joining it. If you'd like to find out more about this evidence that weighs up to prove who Jesus is, I have a few sheets here just of information that you can read for yourself in your own time and check these facts and figures out for yourself. But for now, we're just going to turn to a time of discussion. I'm going to give you a few questions, but before I do so, let me just give you a couple of notices. And don't forget, the 20th of November, there's going to be a guest event here at St. Bottles. Details will be confirmed, but please make note of that in your diaries. And we're going to be looking at this question of how can I know what is the right way, or how can I know life to the full? I can't remember the question exactly. Seeing if there's more to life. Sorry about that. But let me just quickly pray, and I'll hand over to you guys to discuss. Father, we thank you for these things. Father, we thank you for what knowing where truth is found, that it's found in Jesus. Lord, help us to wrestle these things more and so that we can have certainty as to knowing who Jesus is and the things that he says. And in doing so, Lord, finding a way to know you as well. Lord, thank you for these things, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.